Okay. Just a reminder, or I don't know if I think I announced, I'm not sure if I announced it, but just a reminder or announcement. After the schmooze, Andrew volunteered. I volunteered Andrew to give Chazar Shir tonight. So after the schmooze, but I want to encourage the following, generally, over the course of the summer, like I said at the beginning, Shir's not going to be complex. It's not going to be difficult. It's just going to be learning things well. That's it. Just learning things well. So if you know things well, fantastic. But especially on a 2-day sugya, which most of these sugyas will be, probably 2, not 3, probably 2-day sugyas. So just to know it well on day 1 is so essential to make day 2 worthwhile. So if you want to chazer on your own, also fine. But Andrew is offering a great service to the community. To just go through the it could take 10 minutes. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. So afterwards, he'll do it in which corner?
I don't know.
Take a corner.
Sit down
take a corner now.
Okay,
so
I'll go right.
So I'll do.
I'll do it right here.
Right here?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So everybody's invited to join. And then again, 9:10. We're down Marv early tonight. We're going up to the. We're doing the Kumsitz with the boys. And we'll try to make it nice. Okay, so I'm rushed into Parshas Pinchas, but Shmooz is sponsored by Nathaniel Kramer, and I feel a need, an interest to just share. You know Nathaniel? Yeah, I forgot like what year, the same year or no? You're younger. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know that's the biggest cornet. We know a few Kornicks, Michal and Rafi. That's the oldest, right? Right. The oldest Kornick was Zofa to have. You hear it all summer also. Okay. Another valuable resource guys should really feel comfortable to tap into. So, Nathaniel Kramer was the original summer. He started this whole venture. And he came back the second summer as a Meshiv. There are a couple guys. Wedgel, if you remember. Okay, Chevra. And Nathaniel Kramer came back as a Meshiv that first summer. And again, the first summer, we had no idea what we were doing. Second summer, I hope we had less of an idea what we were doing. But Nathaniel Kramer was such a vital part of what was going on, and he blossomed. His father's actually my 10th grade Rebbe from high school, which was very cool for me. And then he blossomed, YU, married now. He is, or he was, I think he still is, learning in the Heichal Kolo. A budding Talmud Chacham, as they say, but a very special guy. So big skus that he's still connected to what we're doing here. Okay, like I said, I'm pressured to start talking about Pinchas, even though we don't even know the story. We skipped the story of Pinchas, and we're going to talk about the reward. They split up the parshas this way, so the story. I'm not allowed to talk about last week. For some reason, there's a rule like that. You have to talk about this week's parsha. So I'm not going to tell the story, but I will talk about the reward. So it says about the reward that since he was Heshiv as Chamosi, whatever that means, these are very hard phrases to understand. I'm not even going to try. Since Pinchas was Heshiv as Chamosi, he did something. Bekano as Kinasi, about something. He did something about something. Therefore, lo chilisi is bnei Yisrael b'kinasi. So Hashem didn't destroy the Jews, whatever kinasi means. Okay, so Pinchas did something, and because of that, Hashem decided not to destroy Klal Yisrael. Lachain, because of that, watch this, Emor is a hard word. What does it mean? Tell him? I don't know. Emor. The reward is, hinani nosin lo as brisi shalom. I'm going to give him a covenant of peace. Sounds like a sermon. I don't know if you experienced what I experienced this morning, but like this morning, everybody rise for Ms. Marla Selger. We hereby give him the covenant of peace. Guys, we're joking afterwards. Like, we will now read Psalms 152. Covenant of peace. And I'm making jokes because what does that mean? Covenant of peace? I know everybody knows, like the little midrash says, you learned it in the first grade, Mor Miriam, he's going to live forever, Elio Anavi, all these things. I don't know where it says those. It does say those things. But not in the Psukim. The Psukim, it says, Hinani nosin lo as brisi shalom. Okay, I don't know what that is. V'haisa lo ulzaro afer a bris kahunas olam. So okay, that I think we know what that means. That he wasn't a kohen because kahuna was only given to Aaron and his kids and their kids. Pinchas was like he was out of the loop. So he wasn't a kohen, even though his he had the yichus, but he was out of the loop. He got in there at the wrong time. But now Hashem gave him also to be a kohen because he did these things. Okay, so he got a lot of rewards. So what is this? I gave him a brisi shalom. What is this covenant of peace? This is the shaila. And in the word, if you look at even a regular chumash, you're not going to notice it. What you're going to think, I'm not going to even show it to you because you're not going to see it. But if you look at it closely, you see the word shalom, and you might, I don't know, if you pay attention, you might notice that there's like a piece of lint on the word. So if you're a little OCD, you like wipe away the lint, and it doesn't wipe away. So then you figure, okay, so it's not lint, so it must be like it didn't print well. Why? Because on the vav of shalom, there's a white line crossing out midway of the vav. So it looks like just like a little dirt. You want to? No, it's not dirt. And then I guess the printer didn't print well in wherever they printed this thing. So it's called a vav ketia. It's halachically supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a chatzi vav. What's happening right now? Is a vav ketia? Because we want to pretend it means shalom. Shalom, whatever, again, there's a lot of interpretations, what exactly Hashem rewarded him with, shalom. But also, since there's a vav kti over here, like a knocked out vav, so why did it have to be there to get knocked out? Okay, there's a lot of tzayir here, obviously. But there's Hashem wants to convey to us something, that I gave him a brisi of shalom, but also of shalim. Shalim. What's happening right now? So, I'll just jump right into it. So, the Setch is not here, but I think a couple of Chevra went out. But the Setch, I said last night, that the Setch is great to have in the Shmooz. I'm gonna maybe speak to him afterwards about what I say tonight. He's great to have in the Shmooz because sometimes after, I hope during, but it would happen to be after, he came to me yesterday. He asked me like all the hard kashas. He said, you're wrong on this, you're wrong on that, this didn't make sense, I disagree with that, everything. He nailed it. And he raised an issue that we'll get to in a second. But we'll start by just continuing off from yesterday's conversation. When we talk about discovering your strengths, okay, let's talk about it seriously today. Yesterday we made a joke about ice cream. Guys got excited. You know, I can eat ice cream the whole summer. What a party. What do we do on a fast day? Bikasha. So, okay, let's talk serious now. When we talk about discovering your strengths, there's a problem because you need a certain, or sometimes you need a certain environment to gauge your strengths. To gauge your strengths independent of an environment is a little complicated. Let's explain what this means. Let's elaborate on this. So if I'm at home playing ball in my backyard, so I might conclude that I'm the best ball player on the planet. Because it happens to be on that planet I actually am, the planet of my backyard. But I walk into a camp, and there's a lot of good ball players here, and then I see, let's call it average. I'm an average ball player. And then the kid in camp, the kid in Morishah, who thinks he's like, oh, he's the big hotshot. You know, everybody looks up to him. We had a kid in Kobe a few years ago. We had intercamps with Morishah. You were there in Kobe that summer? So that was an amazing story. There was a kid learning in Kobe, and we went to Morishah. They went. We had a, you know, that year Kobe's basketball team was like, we won every trophy in camp. And we got to Morishah, and there was like, like you were here, you went. So I wasn't here. I'll tell you the story later. I just saw pictures afterwards. So when the guys got out of the car or off the van or whatever, they were like, there was like a stampede of kids like asking for autographs. And then when one of our guys played on the court, the kids like ripped off their shirts. They had his name written on their chest. We had like a legendary ball player on our team in the Colo that summer. So he comes to, you know, he comes to camp, and he's like, kids are asking for his autographs, they're writing the name, you know, they're like so excited to see the guy. But you know, that guy, bless his soul, he's doing great in life now, he's a little older, But I don't think he could compete in D1. I'm saying you like to think you're good at ball, but like, we're still Jews. At the end of the day, we're still Jews. So I don't know if he could compete in D1. I'll say probably not, but we all know for sure not. For sure not. So, but we think he has the strength of playing ball. But it depends what environment he's in. Because when I'm in my backyard, I'm the best ball player on the planet. When he's in Morasha, he's the best ball player on the planet. But then, depending on your environment, it's hard to determine what are my strengths. So is that how we determine strengths? We have to look at the environment around us. But then it's a game, and it's a very sleazy game, because the easiest way to determine what is or what you want to pursue is your strength is just, again, if you're sleazy about it, you can just position yourself in a place where people are less capable than you are at that specific thing, and then boom, that's your strength. And again, we're looking at it in a positive way. You want to develop your strengths, you want to work on it. But how do you even notice, or how do you determine what those are? How do you do that? How do you gauge it? You can only gauge it in the environment that you're in. So is it legitimate? Is it real? We're just playing games with ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. So we're going to learn a few lines. I'll learn a Sfas Emes. And Sfas Emes talks about Pinchas, with Sholem. From this Sfas Emes, to me, it was an epiphany on this sugya. So Sfas Emes writes, he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that Godol HaShalom Shenitan LePinchas. Not Kan Medrash. The peace treaty that was given to Pinchas was big. It was Godol. You interpret that in a million different ways as you choose. But the Sfas Emes interprets Perish. HaShlemus. She understands it's talking about Shlemus. So Pinchas was given Shlemus, a word we throw around very easily. HaShlemus hu gmar hamachuvun lios ha'adam bol lemakum hamayuchad lo. We should turn that into a song. Really. I think that's a gorgeous song. You know, speak to Gabe, speak to either Gabe, whichever Gabe you prefer. I heard the campers in Besterman's bunk are like singing his song all day, chazering. So speak to whichever Gabe you choose, and let him make a song out of this. But this is a tremendous line. You got to hear the line again. Hashlemus hu gmar hamachuven lios haadam bal lemakum hamayuchad lo. Shlemus is the intended conclusion that a person should reach the place that he's destined to reach. This is what I mean by learning slow. You hit a line like this in the Sfas Emes, that's the whole night seder. That's right there, two hours just because that's a lot of time. But if you want four, if you want six, matov manoim, even better. To think about this line for hours, to put time and energy into what this means for you, you're not going to lose. Hashlemus hu gmar hamachuvan. Shlemus means the intended goal, the intended, it's hard to translate gmar, the intended agenda, address, where we're headed. Lios ha'odam bolim makom hamayuchad lo. That a person should reach the place he's destined to reach. That's Shlemus. Shlemus means that we're trying to pursue, every person is trying to get to a certain place, but you have to discover, you have to learn about yourself and about the world that you live in that surrounds you, what place is it that you're intended to reach, and then you have to determine how to get there. She'al ze nivra. Because for that you were created. V'zehu hashlem. That's your shlemus. Now this got trickier just now, because that means your shlemus is nobody else's shlemus. Because sha'al zeh nivra, that's why you were created. That's your unique shlemus, sha'al zeh, because for that and that alone, you were nivra. That means nobody else could reach it, nobody else could attain it, nobody else has the unique composition, constitution, characteristics, to be able to pursue and reach that ultimate goal. You know, so we live in a world, like we started, that's extremely confusing. Because we see maybe what's culturally or maybe, you know, communally, what they tell us, what they platform as achievements. Achievements, I've always thought this, but recently I've clarified in my own mind, to whatever level I reached, I got to a certain clarity of how risky, just risky, how risky achievements are. Because achievements are often going to be in the eyes of society. Society will determine achievements. But society can't determine growth. Can't. Impossible. Because growth means growing towards shleimus. Achievements means something that society has determined is an accomplishment, is something that we're proud of. So you got into Harvard. So you got into Harvard, so you have a great achievement. But is that growth? I don't know. Depends who. Depends where he started and where he's headed. Depends what is his makum hamayuchad lo. Depends what is the gemar hamachuvin that Hashem wants that he should get to. So he got into Harvard. It's a great achievement. But is that growth? I don't know. But if we decide, and we do, we have decided to flaunt even internally, even if you're not ostentatious, you're not showing off, you're not telling everybody you're wearing a Kobe sweatshirt, you're not wearing a Harvard sweatshirt, you're not wearing the Big Eight. That, you know, there's a copyright. I can't even sell it if I wanted to. But when you reach an achievement like you got into Harvard, it's very easy, even internally, I'm not talking about externally to other people, but internally, you feel that's something that you reached a major milestone in life. You got into not an Ivy League school, you got into the Ivy League school. So it's a great achievement. But is that growth? And that's where we get lost in this confusing sugya. Because we forgot, or we maybe never investigated, that's the honest way to say it, we never investigated what's our growth. So the easy way, the cheap way to do it, is to just look at what society determined and deemed to be an achievement. And so whatever they decided should be an achievement, I'll use that for myself to be considered growth. But it's not. Because each guy has to be aspiring to attain, to get to a place that's the makom hamayuchad lo. There's a place that's mechuvan, the Sfas Emes writes, for each individual to reach, and it's not going to be the same for everybody. So one thing I learned for sure is that Harvard, for one person, could be tremendous growth. And for another person, a waste of time. Just a tremendous waste of time. You're walking down the wrong street. You're heading in the absolute wrong direction. So like I said, you know, Besesh was bothering me yesterday after the Shmooze, and I'm so appreciative, and I'm highlighting that to encourage that we should keep doing that, you know, amongst ourselves. Think about our day. I just want to show you what's happening. In the morning, Rothman gave a shmooze. In the afternoon, you guys to each other gave a shmooze. If you had discussed to Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma, go to Rav Rafi's shiur just now, you heard another shmooze. And now I'm trying to give a little talk. And in between shmoozing, there's like a little gemara and a little gemara over here and a little halacha. We squeezed in for like optics sake, you know, it looks like a little yeshiva, you know? But who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? We're squeezing in between, you know? The same way yeshivas pretend to squeeze in musr in between, I'm not pretending. This is a musr all day. Not musr, growth. Growth. This is a place of growth. Growth. Yeshivas don't encourage people to grow. I talk about this a lot in yeshivas. I'm not embarrassed to say it all the time. Yeshivas encourage people to attain achievements. But achievements have nothing to do with growth. Because you don't know yourself. And what's an achievement to one person might be growth to him, but to you I can guarantee it's certainly not. For you to pursue the same things that for him it's called growth, for you is certainly not. And what Pesachus was asking last night, how do you determine your strengths? So I would say, in your backyard. Not in camp. Not on a D1 basketball court. On a D1 basketball court, you'll discover you're terrible at ball. In camp, most of you will discover you're not as good as you thought you were. But in your backyard, oh my God, you're the best player on the planet. You're not just an all-star. You're an NBA first team. Thank you, Shkaya.
That's the only piece I have.
Not just an all-star, you made first team in your Hall of Famer. In your backyard, I remember playing my backyard. I was a Hall of Famer in my backyard. How many buzzer beaters did I hit in my backyard? I win the championships like 3 times a day. I was the best player on the planet. And I saw I had certain strengths. I got onto a real life court, and then so what do they strive for? So they strive for, what is it, 90, 50, 40? Some kind of freshman like that? That's a thing? Okay, if you don't know, I'm not holding too much either, but if you know, great, and if you don't know, you're good too. So there's achievements. There's 90, 50, 40. You know, you hit certain percentages. In my backyard, before anybody told me that, I was never striving for 90, 50, 40. I was striving for 100, 100, 100. I want it to be 100 on my foul shots, 100 on my three-pointers, 100 on my field. I want to be 100, 100, 100. And then they told me 90, 50, 40. I'm like, oh, that's so easy. I could do that. No, I probably just lowered the rim a little bit. I had a great time. You know, my life is very simple. 90, 50, 40, that's the goal. Why did that become the goal? Because society determined that that's what we're capable of. That's a big mistake. So you can't gauge. It will be terribly unfortunate to gauge what's your growth based on society, what your strengths are based on society. Let's bring it to real life. So real life, just one more line from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes is tremendous. I bumped into the Sfas Emes somebody was like, Avi stepped out during the afternoon Seder, so he got distracted, I opened the Sfas Emes. I bumped into the Sfas Emes like a godsend. One more line. He writes, Pinchas ayidei mesiris nefesh. Pinchas, because of what he did, and we never even discussed, we don't even know what he did. He did something. But that which he did, tikein karega. He was misakin in that moment, kol olomo. His entire purpose. Again, we have many purposes. Don't get caught up in what's my one? We have many purposes. But with this purpose, he was misakin. Ubo el ashlemus. And he attained this level called Shlemus, and then I saw this line, I said, Hashem, you're being too good to us over here. And the Sfas Emes writes, he was Kone Olomo Bekayetz Echad. He writes B'sha Achas, but same thing, same nosa. He was Kone Olomo B'sha Achas. And Pinchas, in that one moment, he acquired his whole world. That was the whole purpose. And for that, Brisi Shalom means a lot of things. But certainly one thing that it means is shlemus. He got to his level of shlemus. Rav Rafi, if you had discussed Shalol Lishma, to go to the shmuz, I was listening, I don't know what you were doing. But in the shmuz, he said an unbelievable story. I got to repeat the story. You get the chills from this story. He said over, if you weren't there, he said that in Mavi this week, there was a young girl, 9-year-old girl, he said, and she came in, and she sounds not from family, and she didn't go to Jewish school, so she doesn't know Aleph Beis. So over there, the Chinuch people just sat with her, learned Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. They told her Aleph Beis. So she had davening, and then she told Rafi, or I don't know if Rafi heard the story, and she said at the end of davening that I don't know how to daven, I don't know how to read a sitter, but I learned Aleph Beis. So instead of davening, what I did was, I said to Hashem, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, all the way till the end. If that doesn't make you cry, you're a really cold Jew. You're way too cold. We gotta lower the AC over here. Oh my God. What a story. We're sitting there, Haluka, 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 Haluka. And she sat there, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. And Rav Ravi said it's a nice story, but what I was thinking when he said the story, I have a raya that her tefillah, forgive my language when I say this respectfully, but he was saying fluffy, fluffy, like oh, that was the best tefillah Hashem got and since the Korban Beis Hamikdash, you know, like a fluffy kind of thing. But I have a raya. It's true. What's my raya? Because before I got married, and I encourage you to do this, before I got married, I think it was Rav Goldwicht, he advised me, he said, try the day you're getting married to finish all Sefer Tehillim. And I never asked him pshat, I could still ask him, but I liked the pshat that I came up with. The pshat that I understood that I came up with was because I don't know what I'm going to need in my married life when I'm building a family. I have no idea what I'll need. And Tehillim has everything. So you say Tehillim on that day, it's Yom Kippur, you're getting married, the beginning of your life, you say Kol Sefer Tehillim. Today there was, I don't know, people are, for some reason, you don't have time to say, I don't know why you don't have time to say, I don't know which makeup artist you go to, but when I got married to makeup artists, you didn't demand too much time. And you have time. If you don't have time, so split it. Chas and Kali, split it. And I thought the pshat was that in Tehillim is everything, so since I don't know what to daven for, because I don't know what my life holds ahead of me, just you cover everything. And so that's what I was thinking. Rav Rafi said the story, this little girl, she said everything. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. In those letters, when she finished, she said everything. Nothing she didn't say. She said every tefillah that ever needed to have been written in this world. She said all of Tanakh and all of, she had everything. Every tefillah. Everything in the Siddur, all the Piyutim in the back, all the Yitzris, you say on Yom, she said everything. She covered everything. That tefillah was tremendous. So this morning, I'll contrast, this morning, I don't know, I'll say, my experience this morning was, I tried, and after not 5 seconds, I said to myself, I can't grow here. I tried, and I'm willing to daven wherever they want me to daven, but I sat where we were positioned, and I felt for myself, I can't grow here. I can't grow in that venue, in that particular venue. It was, for me, not. I didn't feel, I was the only, like, one thing was pulling me, it was a lake, it was like a little outdoorsy setting, and there was a little breeze for a half a second, but that half a second passed away too quickly. And then during that half a second of the breeze, I'm like, it's a lake, it's a breeze, it's a shtickle, like I could, like Hispoda does kind of matzav, and but that half second was over very fast. And then I said to myself, I can't grow here. So I don't know if I was Yotze davening this morning. I put on tefillin, I said words, I'm not sure if I daven. And then in the beginning of it, I said, I'm never doing this again. For me, I'm looking to grow this summer. I want to grow this summer. I'm not here to daven. I didn't come here to daven. I came here to grow. And I sat there and I said to myself, for me, this is not a place of growth. This is not an opportunity for growth. So you want me to wake up at 6:30? You want me to wake up for Nate's? You want me to do it? I don't care. For me, I'll daven. We had a great, for the guys who went to Poland, we saw such a beautiful thing that you don't realize how precious what you saw is. I remember the first day of Poland, we got to Shacharis. And by Shacharis, they already had the locks. The locks was like, we were in a 5-star hotel over there. You know, they had locks every day. So the locks was sitting out, and for some reason the guys were like drooling over locks. You know, Baruch Shem are staring at locks for some reason. I never realized locks was so exciting. And then our tour guide, I don't want to say his name because it's being recorded, but our tour guide is a big tzaddik, everybody knows he's a big tzaddik. He came in, Shacharis. Like, he didn't even put on tefillin yet. He came in, he saw the locks, we were drooling. He just took a handful and he ate it. I'm like, this guy's a legend. I knew he was a legend. He is a legend. I knew he was a legend. But he just went up like 12 ranks in the legend rankings when I saw him do this. And in my head, I'm thinking to myself, like, maybe he's Hasidish. You know, they eat for davening. Maybe he's not feeling good. It was like a long bus ride last night. We got him very late. He's not feeling good. And then I noticed he just didn't put on tefillin. And he just didn't daven. And this guy, he's a big tzaddik. And then I'm like, I'm so stupid. Because I used to daven with him. We used to daven together for a good amount of time. He davened Vasikin every day. So we got into the hotel from the airport. It must have been 1 a.m. By the time you got to bed, it must have been 2 a.m. already. And then we had a late shacharis, like 8 a.m. And he was eating lox. Why? Because he woke up to daven Vasikin. So because of him, you know, he's a mentor, he's a role model of mine. So I said to myself, so if I have to daven Vasikin by myself, And then I'll put on tefillin. I'll put on tefillin just to like play make believe, like kielu, pretend like I'm davening. It's what a lot of people do anyway. So I'll daven a sikkin in my cabin, and then I'll put on tefillin over there. I'm not such a big tzaddik like he was. And there's no locks over there. So I wasn't comfortable making that decision. So I said to myself, I'm here to grow. I'm here to grow. And I know what I need to grow. To grow, I need to communicate with Hashem. I'm very spoiled. I'm a spoiled kid. I need a comfortable place. I need good AC. I need a setting that I feel like not distracted. I know what I need. I've lived with myself for a few good years. I know myself a little bit. I know what I need to have a davening that I could grow in. But I'm looking to grow. If you want me to daven, no way. I didn't sign up for this program to daven. No way I'm coming to davening. No way. I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to grow. And davening and growth, nothing to do with each other. Zero. You've experienced this your whole life. Your whole life? You know, like a guy said to me today, we're learning tefillin. And I forgot the question he asked. I'll make a joke because I forgot specifically what he asked. But he said to me, I remember. He said, is there a shin on the shaliyad? You know, it's like, we put this on every day. You didn't realize? I forgot, if you're uncomfortable, I know you were joking when you asked me this question. I forgot already who asked me. I know you were joking. I'm not calling you out. But we don't look at tefillin every day because we're used to it. We daven every day, we get used to it. But we're not trying to grow. And Pinchas was b'sha'a achas. Whatever he did, I'm not even talking about what he did. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because when you try to determine what it means to grow, you can't look at Pinchas. I heard from one of the biggest mashgichim in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rav Reuven Leuchter. If you heard of him, you chap what I'm talking about. If you didn't hear of him, you should hear of him. His shmuzin are, they're all over the place. English with like a great Swedish accent. It's very geschmack to listen to. He's brilliant and he's deep. He's unbelievable. Rav Reuven Leuchter, highly recommended. I heard from him that he learned by Revolbi. And he said that he Revolbi always spoke about like keeping a journal. Just writing. And he said one time he had the opportunity to like sneak into Revolbi's study and take a peek in Revolbi's journal just to get an idea, a format of how to journal, how to do it. So he read not to see anything private, but just to see how to format what the style is. And then he said he copied that. And then he said it took him 10 years to get that out of his system. It was terrible, he said, what he did. It was terrible. Because what was he doing? He was journaling the way Revolbi journals. And he said, that's terrible. It's terrible. It took me 10 years, he said, to get that out of my system and to figure out how to do it as me, as myself. And we live in this society, and it's a good thing. We have good mentors, you know, Mayer in the back, we have Kornick in the back, we have two great anchors on both ends of the back. And you look at great people around us, big people around us, and you say, oh, he's doing it right. I'm going to copy him. What's the big problem? He'll never grow. Because he has achievements. You say, I want to emulate, I want to copy his achievements. And he has achievements, I want to copy his achievements. But that's not growth. Growth means in your backyard, in your own backyard, to sit by yourself and to gain a tremendous self-awareness. But it has to be tremendous. Self-awareness means to be able to rid your mind of everything that you've been told is an accomplishment. What the world sold to you as being a major achievement, to rid your mind of that and to start from scratch and to ask yourself, what am I put here for? What is the place that's mechuvin lo that I could be kone olamo at least v'kayitz, if not b'sha'a achas? And that takes a lot of work. Ice cream was a joke. We make good jokes about ice cream. Now let's get serious. What am I doing here? What am I doing here in my own world, in my own life? To sit down and to ask yourself, who am I? What is my nature? What's my character? What can I contribute? And if your answer is, like, you know, as a, like, Leitzanus Mamish, you come in, Benjamini's going to come in next year, a good Rebbe is going to ask you, what are your goals for the year? And you don't have to waste your time, I'll tell you the answers right now. I want to grow, I want to develop my Gemara skills. I want to improve my davening. I want to know the whys, and I want to work on Lashon Hara. That's pretty much everything. And what did you say in English? I don't know who I am. I've never met myself. I live in a society and I'll do whatever they tell me. Improve my Gemara skills and become a little bit better at this and maybe go to a shiur like this and we'll have an accomplishment and get an incentive and win a prize. And then I conquered Shana Aleph. Don't be a failure. I'm warning you early. Don't become a failure. Don't buy in. You have an opportunity this summer. It's very hard. You're young. You know, you're fresh. I'm putting a lot of pressure very early on. You chose to come here, not me. You chose to come here. You're a token high school guy. We appreciate. Later, I want you to introduce yourself to everybody. Like, everyone needs to get to know you a little bit. We can't just put pressure on you. But you're Prishan Aleph. So it's very easy to say, okay, learn to do it right. But the rest of us are Poshan Aleph, Poshan Abed. And we're still in the same place. You're way ahead of us. We're still in the same place. And the same place means that we're so overburdened by the classic messages. This is where you should be going. This is what you should be doing. This is what's good. I'll end because it's late. It's late. I'll end with something that has no shy because it's smooth. Just popped in my head for some reason. And I'm proud to share it. And like a good rabbi is trained to do, we'll make shaykhs where there is no shaykhs. But a friend of mine, I shared this story with a couple guys. I was in Morashah, I was a counselor a while ago. And I remember when I was a counselor here, I didn't know there was a kolo. I didn't know what kolo was. One time I had a day off, and we were on a van, a shuttle, and when we passed by the kolo, they stopped. Maybe to pick some guys up, I don't remember. And I asked, I guess somebody next to me on the shuttle, what's this, a kolo, I don't know what that is. But I saw people, I saw like what I, in that stage of my life, what I saw was like I described it, I said last night, like sad looking people. You know, sad and angry looking people and very, very, you know, white, like pasty colored people. Like just like zombies. I'm like, ooh, like could they keep these chevra on the other side of the river? You know, they like, there's like a loony bin over here. I don't know what's going on over there. I really was taken aback. I didn't chap. I never heard of such things in my life. I was very unfamiliar with that. And there was a guy there. That he knew us, I guess, from high school, and he realized that we were on campus. I remember he would come once a week and try to give us chizuk and because we were Prishan Aleph. So he was telling us, oh, this, that, all kinds of kirev messages. I bumped into him a few weeks ago. And I didn't see him in a long time. So he said to me, you know, what do you do when this month's over? He's also Rebbe. So I said, when this month's over, I go to our old stomping grounds. I'm going to Morashah. And he gave me a look like you were forced to do this? Like why? For him to go to a place like this was like he's sending him to... The worst word, I can't even say. He's in a place today, he lives in a society today, where to come to a place like this is like a bunch of guy. He looked at me like I was going to live in like a trailer park with the rednecks, and like, he thought I was being Michal Shabbos. He was gonna tear Kriya, you know, sit on the floor and say keenness about me. And I can't respond to a person like that, but I can tell you what I was feeling. I wait the whole year to come. The whole year I look forward to this. Why? Because in the world out there, we live in different communities. Depending on your stupid word, hashkafa, this stupid made-up word, hashkafa, we live in different communities. And we send our kids to different schools. And we daven in different shuls. I hate that world. I don't want to be a part of that world. I despise that world. I want to run away from that world. And where's the only world that I actually enjoy living in? A world like this. Where every size, shape, and color can just hang out together and there's no judgment, there's only respect, everybody gets along, and everybody grows. Everybody grows. because there's nothing I have to be. In my community, it's something I have to be. In your community, it's something you have to be. In every community, they told you exactly what you have to be until you come here. And you don't have to be. There's nothing you have to be. Nobody's looking, nobody's judging, nobody's telling you. And that gives you an opportunity and a place to ask yourself, who am I? Where is the makom hamachuven? Where is the place that I need to pursue? And then how do I get there? And it's not going to happen over a day. But it'll happen, it could happen. There's a school, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Kedusha in places like these. And there's a lot from the Kedusha, places like these, where we have, you know, how excited were we just now to meet the Yafa kids who came from a place that we are thrilled to bring Yafa into the Beis Medrash, to learn with them, to daven with them. A place like this, there's so much Kedusha in a place like this that it could be a crazy statement to make, but it could be in just a few weeks you could discover this. Maybe not in a night, but in just a few weeks in a place that has a tremendous amount of Kedusha, it could be that that's enough time to discover this. And if a person walks out of the summer discovering his strengths and working on those strengths and developing those strengths, like the Sfas Emes said, not my words, Sfas Emes said, Kone Olomo Bekayetz Echa. Unbelievable.